The tax-dodging device known as Bitcoin, plus are all the good trademarks already taken? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, what kind of economy will the new president of South Africa inherit? Cyril Ramaphosa takes power in the second-largest economy in Africa today after Jacob Zuma quit under pressure amid corruption allegations. I spoke to the BBC's Johannesburg reporter Matthew Davis this morning.
Unemployment is at more than 26%. It has a ballooning deficit. Standard & Poor's and Fitch rate the government's debt at junk. And all this is happening in an environment of low growth. There are a mess of corruption allegations and underfunding of the state-owned enterprises, things like the electricity generator, and they need constant bailouts. Cyril Ramaphosa, he needs to sort that out.
Now, Cyril Ramaphosa, long experience in politics, instrumental in writing South Africa's constitution. He's a former labor union official, but since apartheid, he's done very well in his business dealings.
He certainly has. He's one of the country's richest men. And as you say, yes, he started out as a trade unionist. Back in the 80s, he was the founder of the National Union of Mine Workers. He then negotiated the constitution and then became a businessman, made a lot of money. He was the chairman of MTN, which is a big cellular network here. But he's also a very skilled negotiator. That's kind of what he's known for.
Matthew Davis in Johannesburg checking financial markets. The Dow future is up 0.9%. NASDAQ and S&P futures up 0.5%. London's 100 share index is up in a similar range. The benchmark for interest rates in the U.S. is up at 2.93% on the 10-year yield. And this number, as we all digest this 30th mass shooting of this young year, police say an AR-15-type semi-automatic rifle was used at the school in Florida. The NRA estimates the total number of these in circulation in America. The number is 8 million. Digital currencies such as Bitcoin are volatile investment tools. They're built on electronic ledgers with wide applications. But cryptocurrencies are also fabulous money laundering and money hiding devices. That's an issue for police, but also for tax collectors. New data from the tax filing service Credit Karma show that less than 0.1% of filers have disclosed the gains in their digital currency holdings on their tax returns. Marketplace's Ryan Kyloff looked into this.
This is Tyson.
Tax lawyer Tyson Cross says the whole Bitcoin thing used to be a niche part of his practice. Now his website, BitcoinTaxSolutions.com.
It used to get like 6,100 visitors a month. And I think last month I got like 8,000.
Cross says in theory, crypto transactions are taxable just like stocks, as capital gains or losses. But he's not surprised people are underreporting. Since none of the coin exchanges issue 1099s, that burden's on the customer. But lest ye be tempted, he says.
The IRS is aware of crypto, and they know that people are making lots of money with it and might not be paying their taxes.
Let's say there was $50 billion of gains in the U.S. I mean, the IRS could think that it's got $20 billion coming its way.
CPA Robert Green says the IRS went after delinquents last year when it subpoenaed customer records from the popular exchange Coinbase. He says most crypto players he hears from aren't crooks, though. They simply don't know how tax laws apply to cryptocurrency transactions. In New York, I'm Ryan Kyloff for Marketplace.
I remember during my side hustles as a DJ in the 80s listening to the post-punk group The and thinking we might be running out of good band names. Turns out here in 2018, we are running out of words to trademark. That's what the statistics show. Here's one of the co-authors of the study, Barton Beebe, a professor of intellectual property law at NYU's School of Law.
We're running out of good trademarks. All of the best marks are taken, and this is causing real problems for new market entrants, for new businesses. They're spending more and more money trying to sort of exploit a shrinking pool of good trademarks. There have been lots of media reports over the past decades about, all the good band names are taken, all the good craft beer names are taken. And we wanted to actually show that quantitatively with, back it up with data. And that's what this article does.
So what would be a strong trademark in your view? Give us a sense of that.
Some rules of thumb are that the brand name should be, unique, different from other marks, and also unique to you, ideally. You'd be the only company in the economy using the term. Ideally, you want the brand name to be a common word. This is controversial. There are differences of opinion on this. But a common word, a dictionary word, imparts a sort of authenticity to the brand. And to the extent it's a common word, it's probably very easy to pronounce and also easy to remember. So that's why in the article we looked at 100,000 most frequently used words in English to see how many were claimed. And we came up with this number that about 75% of the words we use on a daily basis are claimed as trademarks.
So already the words are taken. Even, I think you point out in the paper, the article.
Yeah, the is claimed by, I mean, I think in the paper we say it's 10 different registrants at the moment. Some of those might be acronyms, but that means the word is claimed. And if you want to walk in and register the, you're out of luck. You know, the single letter A, I think, is registered by probably maybe even hundreds of registrants in different categories of goods and services.
Well, here's one countervailing force that's happening now in the culture that may help. We are inventing new words. In other words, you could call your company hangry, a word that didn't exist in the dictionary.
No, absolutely. So we studied that as well. We looked at the most frequently used syllables in American English and then studied how many of those syllables are claimed. And we come up with the statistic that about 80% of the syllables you use on a daily basis are claimed as single word marks. You could take that a little farther. You can look at the usage of those syllables in two syllable words. And we come up with similar numbers. I won't give them all to you right now, but it's pretty disturbing that even this idea, oh, come on, you can always coin a new term. We're running out of those also.
I'm going to get a cease and desist just talking to you here because everything come out of my mouth probably is claimed by somebody.
Yeah.
Barton Beebe, along with Jeannie Frommer's piece, Are We Running Out of Trademarks?, is in the Harvard Law Review this month. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.